हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् हरिः ॐ ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let us read these verses 51 and 52. We have to go to the 53rd verse today. Idam gunakriya jati, idam gunakriya jati, dravya sambandha vastushu, dravya sambandha vastushu, samam tena swarupasya, samam tena swarupasya, sarvametaditishatam. Sarvametaditishatam. I concluded the last class saying Etat Sarvam Ishyatam. Etat Sarvam Ishyatam means in this verse, in the 51st verse, Gaudapada Acharya actually negates the entire school of Nayayika system of philosophy, saying not only that one particular attribute called, particular thing called gunaha is the attribute, not only that gunaha, the attribute cannot be established logically, also all his padarthas, all the seven padarthas of Nayayika cannot be logically established. Nothing can be logically established. Which means the entire Nyaya system of philosophy is illogical. Which means they may sound logical superficially. They may sound logical certain areas, but if we really probe deeper into the things, and we will find out that nothing can be established logically. So, gunaha, so this division comes under the category of gunaha. Nirvikalpatvam. Category of gunaha. Whereas what about the kriya? And we saw last class very clearly, a logician divides the whole world into seven padarthas, seven substances, sapta padarthaha. And their substance is one of the seven padarthas. Gunaha, kriya, jati, dravya, sambandha. Also two more I added. He only mentions five of them. So, gunaha, kriya, jati, dravya, sambandha, in all of them, samam tena swarupasya. means all of them, etatha ishyata means this, none of them can be established logically. Just as attribute cannot be established logically, that we can, it is not possible for us to say there is such a thing called attribute, absolute attribute. Why, you remember very well why we brought this very argument into the context. You know that very well. Brahman is an object of revelation, and Shastram is the Mahavakyam, is the instrument of revelation. Guru is the revealer. Therefore, Brahman is one of the Triputi members. Therefore, Brahman is subject to division. Brahman has division as its attribute. That was his argument. Therefore, in that context, just to say, no, there is no attribute on the part of, the answer he was supposed to give was, there is no attribute on the part of Brahman. Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness. And second thing, division is not an attribute. And division, Brahman is not subject to any division. That's what he opposed to established. Instead, he put the counter question saying that even the there's no such a thing called attribute at all, absolutely. When one cannot establish something called attribute absolutely, logically establish, then how can I talk about Nirvikalpa, the Savikalpatvam being, the division being the attribute of Brahman? And in that 51st verse, he says, not only gunaha, not only the attribute, all other six padarthas of Nayayika, all of them are logically very shaky because they cannot be established logically. So logician's theory cannot be established logically. And imagine illogical people. Therefore, that is what is, so it's a 51st verse, is a verse wherein Gaudapada Acharya negates the logician's system of philosophy, that it is, the very system is illogical, that they cannot really find fault with Vedantic unfoldment. Okay, then the 52nd verse, let us read that now. Vikalpa tadabhavabhyam, vikalpa tadabhavabhyam, asam sprishtatma vastuni, vikalpitatva lakshatva, vikalpitatva lakshatva, sambandadyastu kalpitaha. I said the 52nd verse, the important word to be understood is kalpita. Kalpita means superimposed, or kalpita means imagined, kalpita means projected. Here, having given the answer in the 50 and the 51st verses, now having actually negated, having pointed out the error in the logician's argument and pointing out the limitations of the logician's view, the 52nd verse, Gaudapada Acharya gives actually the answer for that question. Answer, what is the answer? Nirvikalpatvam, or first of all, Brahman is not subject to division. Brahman is of the nature of divisionlessness, and Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness also. That's fine.
Swamini,
Vidyaranya Swami, sorry. Gaudapada Acharya?
Okay, sorry.
I'm happy you're reminding me. Good. I just finished my I did another class in Mandukya. So okay, Gaudapadacharya comes to my mind. Somehow I love Gaudapadacharya as well more. Anyway, it's a Vidyaranya Swami. Yeah, sorry. The whole Panchadashi is a Vidyaranya Swami. That's true. So here, see, Vikalpaha, the division, seems to be there now. His division seems to be there. The division is not really there. Is it possible for something to, is it possible for Brahman to have division? No, Brahman is of the nature of divisionlessness. But how is it possible? One can ask, how is it possible? Even if you say Brahman is Nirvikalpaha, Nirvikalpam Brahma, Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness, Nirvikalpam, if we say also, then it is possible for him to ask, you say Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness, but when you say Brahman is Nirvikalpam, it means attributelessness becomes the attribute of Brahman. Can we take the attributelessness as the attribute of Brahman? We say Nirvikalpam Brahma, if you say, then attributelessness can be taken as the attribute of the Brahman. No. There again, no, Nirvikalpatvam also is what? Not an attribute of Brahman. And we also say, suppose the two factors which are opposed to each other can coexist. Like again, example last class, how wetness and the dryness and water can coexist. Is it possible for water and dryness to coexist? Where water is, there cannot be dry sand, a dry soil. There will be wet soil only. If there is water on the part of the soil, the soil must be wet, it can't be dry. Is it possible for dryness of the soil and the water to coexist? They cannot coexist. Why? Because they're opposed to each other. Dryness and water are opposed to each other. Where there is water, there must be wetness. There must be dampness. There can't be dryness. But still, when you look at the mirage water, you see water. At the same time, you see the dryness. And that means there's no real water, isn't it? So that what you're experiencing, the dryness is satyam, is dry satyam, but the water you see is what? Mithya. It's only in your appearance it is there. I also gave last class, I gave another example. Sitting lying down in a Chennai hot room, sleeping there, you can dream that as if you are in the place where a lot of snow all over. Simultaneously, you're experiencing two things. You're experiencing there are two things in the same room where you're sleeping. There is a heat and also there is snow. How can heat and snow coexist? They're opposed to each other. Where there is heat, there cannot be snow. Where there is snow, there is no heat. How can snow and heat coexist? But still coexisted. How? Things which are opposed to each other can coexist if they are belong to two orders of reality. One is satyam and one is mithya. Suppose both are satyam, it is not possible. If water also is real, dryness also is real, then they cannot coexist. If heat is real, ice also is real, snow is real, then they cannot coexist. But here, snow is very much there, but it is not subjectively real. Only in his dream, the snow is. But externally, objectively, what is real is the hot weather. So, hot weather is the objective reality, and the snow, which is experienced by a person in dream, is objective reality, which is pratibhasikam satyam. And heat is what? Vyavaharikam satyam. So subjective reality, objective reality, they are not of the same, they do not enjoy the same reality, same status of reality. They belong to two orders of reality. Two different orders of reality. One is satyam, other one is mithya. Why mithya? Objectively real, not objectively real. The same way, the heat, the dryness is satyam. Dryness is satyam, objective reality. At the same time, the mirage what you're experiencing is what? You experience, it is only for you, the person who's driving on the, and in the hot weather, and who sees this mirage water in the tar road or somewhere, it is only subjectively real. If one is satyam and one is mithya, the two things which are opposed to each other can coexist if both the things do not belong to the same order of reality. In between what now? They belong to two different orders of reality. One is satyam and one is mithya. In the same way, here also, if at all you say, no, if you look at vikalpa, savikalpatvam is superimposed upon Brahman, it is only projected. It is not real. Suppose when you see the mirage water, there is no real water, it is a kalpita. It is your own projection. In your perception, in your experience, you see the water, it is not really there. The same way, when you see the snow in your dream, sleeping in the hot room, still the snow is what? It only kalpita, projection of your own mind in your dream. Kalpita. It is your, in your perception, in your projection, it is there. It is not really there. In the same way, vikalpatvam also, if you superimpose upon Brahman, it's only vikalpitam, it is not really there. There's no real vikalpaha. There's no real division on the part of Brahman. It's our projection. And if at all you say, what are they belong to, Brahman is absolute reality, paramarthikam satyam. And the division is what? It's only in our perception, in our understanding, which is the vyavaharikam satyam. We do not deny the division. Division enjoys what? Vyavaharika satta, empirical reality. Whereas Brahman is absolute reality. Therefore, it is possible for the attributeless Brahman, which is of the nature of attributelessness, can have the attribute, means what? There's no attribute, it's your projection. That's what he wants to say in this 52nd thing. Then, how can we use the word nirgunam, etc.? And another important lesson is, okay, Brahman has no gunam, neither sagunam nor irgunam. We use the term nirgunam, nirgunam, advaitam. All different words are used to imply the reality, nature of the reality. When you say advaitam, even these words as advaitam, nirgunam, etc. A Brahman is of the nature of, what no, it's a non-dual reality. You have the nature of attributelessness. So nirgunam Brahma, nirvikalpam Brahma, nirvisesham Brahma, nirupadikam Brahma. All these words we are using. Nirupadikam Brahma. Brahman is free from upadis. Brahman has no upadis. Nirgunam Brahma. Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness. Then, nirvikalpam Brahma. Same meaning. Nirvikalpam, nirgunam. Brahman is free from divisions. It is of the nature of divisionlessness. So, nirvikalpam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma. Nirvikaram Brahma. Nirupadikam Brahma, Nirvisesham Brahma. Free from, now Nirvisesham. When you say, all these words we are using, even these words also will be dropped. These words we use only to distinguish Brahman from, to distinguish Advaitam from Dvaitam, we use the term Advaitam. We use Brahman from, you know, Sagunam, we use the word Nirgunam. We use the word Nirvisesham to distinguish Brahman from Savisesham. One should distinguish it. You understand Arivatti Brahman, then even these words also have to be thrown away. Nirgunam, Nirvisesham, all the words will be thrown away. Then what will you do? You will remain quiet. You will not say anything about Brahman. Understand Brahman, arrive at Brahman, then drop all the words, then remain quiet. No, why? Because no word can be needs to be used. All the words are used ultimately to arrive at the Brahman. Having arrived at Brahman, you don't need any more words. No words can be used, no words need to be used. It's exactly like we use the thorn to remove the thorn. Having removed the thorn, the thorn which you use to remove the other thorn also what? You want to keep it safe? To throw it away. The same way here, oh my God, first we thought, you know, Nirvikalpam, all the words have to be dropped. That is what he is going to say next. Okay? Therefore, that's what is said, implied in this 52nd verse itself. That's also implied. Because the question may arise, why do we use then these words? No. Any word used is not an adjective, is not a word which describes Brahman, not an attribute of Brahman. Those words are used only to distinguish Brahman, to arrive at the reality. To arrive at, to say what Brahman is not. Once you arrive at the Brahman, then those words also have to be resolved. Resolved means what? You will see those words, you don't need the words anymore. Okay, this much is very clear. Now let's go to the 53rd verse. This is a new lesson today. Ittham vakyaistadarthanu. Ittham vakyaistadarthanu. Ittambakyaihi tadarthanu sandhanam shravanam bhavet. So, ittambakyaihi tad artha anusandhanam shravanam bhavet. Next sentence. Yuktya sambhavitat. Yuktva sambhavitatvanu sandhanam mananantu tat. If we read that the order doesn't come properly, let me say to tell you. Ittham, in this manner. In which manner? In the manner which has been established above. How beautifully Vidyaranya Swami established. By giving two answers, He negated Nayayika's argument. So in this manner, ittam, in this manner, vakyehi means what now? Vakyehi here means the mahavakyehi. Vakyehi means through the unfoldment of the mahavakyams. Vakyehi means through the unfoldment of the mahavakyas. Tad artha means the meaning of the Mahavakyams. Understanding the meaning of the Mahavakyams through the enquiry into the Mahavakyams. Anusandhanam, tad artha anusandhanam. Anusandhana means repeated dwelling. Repeated dwelling is called anusandhanam. See, this is a beautiful word. The first sentence, he says, what is shravanam? The shravanam is defined in the first sentence of the verse. Mananam is defined in the second sentence. In one sentence, he defines what is shravanam. What is varanam? He says in the next sentence. In both the sentences, he uses one common word, anusandhanam. Let us see the meaning of that word first. Very important to know this meaning. And later on, in contemplation also, we are going to use the same word. Shravanam, in Shravanam, he is using the term anusandhanam. To mean mananam also, he uses the word anusandhanam. We have to understand nididhyasanam, it is not mentioned in this verse. Let us include that also here. Nididhyasanam also what? Anusandhanam. Therefore, Shravanam, there is anusandhanam. In mananam, there is anusandhanam. There is anusandhanam in nididhyasanam also. What does the anusandhanam mean? You came across this word first in Bhagavad Gita, read the first dhyana shlokam. Remember the verse? Bhagavad Gita. Remember that word, what is? Advaitamrutavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandadhami. There you come across the verb. Anusandadhami, there is a verb. And here it is a noun. It is a gerund. Anusandhanam. The root here is dha. I want to know this. Dha means to place. Vaital. To place is called a dha. Sandhanam. Sandadhati. Dadhati. Sandadhati. Sandadhati means placing well. Not improperly placing, but properly placing. Accurately placing. Correctly placing is called sandhanam. Correct placement. Placing. Correctly placing. Correct placement is called sandhanam. So, dadhati is the verb. Dha is the root. Sandadhati places properly, places correctly, appropriately. Anu means continuously. Anusandhanam. Anusandadhati, anusandadhami means places correctly, properly, continuously. This is the literal meaning. So what is placed on what? What is placed on what? Isn't it? Attention of the mind has to be placed. Attention of the mind is placed. Therefore, placing the attention of the mind on the object of meditation is anusandhanam. Therefore, anusandhanam is a mental activity. It's a manasa vyaparaha. You don't place anything physically here. Like upasanam, dhyanam, another word is what? Anusandhanam. So continuously placing the attention of the mind in something is what? Anusandhanam. That's why I said repeated dwelling, repeatedly dwelling, constantly dwelling. Constantly dwelling, repeatedly dwelling. Is anusandhanam. So, shravanam also what now? Your attention of the mind is very important in shravanam also, isn't it? In shravanam, attention has to be placed in the teaching. In mananam also, attention of the mind has to be placed. Of course, nidhyasanam, purely attention of the mind has to be placed. So, your attention of dhyanam is always important. So that's why we have to understand the dhyanam in a different way. Dhyanam is not simply closing your eyes and sitting seeing something. What is shravanam? He says, artha anusandhanam. Artha anusandhanam is shravanam. So dwelling upon the meaning, what? So placing the attention of the mind in the meaning of the unfoldment of the Mahavakyams. Meaning, you understand through the unfoldment of the Mahavakyams is Shravanam. First, understanding the meaning of the Mahavakyam through the inquiry of the Mahavakyam, with the help of the teacher, of course, is called what? Shravanam. So, first of all, don't even know what is Tat, what is Tvam, what is Asi, what is the Vachyartha, what is the Lakshyartha. Understanding the Vachyartha of the words, the Lakshyartha of the words, how from the standpoint of the literal Vachyartha, literal meaning, there is difference between Jiva and Ishvara, and how from the standpoint of the Lakshyartha there is oneness of between, there is a non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara, and which meaning you are taking, which meaning you are rejecting, etc. must become very clear. So this is called inquiry into the meaning of the Mahavakyam through the, not only one Mahavakyam, Vakyehi, with the help of the analysis of the Mahavakyams, we understand the meaning, we arrive at the meaning, we arrive at what? We arrive at the oneness of the reality. We arrive at, understand the reality being one and the same. Then, artha anusandhanam, and repeatedly dwelling upon the meaning and making it clear is what? Shravanam. That's called Shravanam. You cannot understand even the meaning of the Mahavakyam. You cannot inquire into the Mahavakyam, arrive at the Mahavakyam, if you don't place attention there. Now, what is Shravanam? He makes it very clear. Understanding the meaning of the Mahavakyam through its unfoldment, through its inquiry, is the Shravanam. Next. Anusandhanam mananam. Again, what now? Again, he says, repeated dwelling or constantly dwelling upon what? Sambhavita. Sambhavitatva anusandhanam. Now, whatever has been understood through enquiry, okay, whatever has been understood through Shravanam, and confirming it, confirming, reconfirming, reinforcing what has been understood through Shravanam logically is called what? Mananam. Yuktya. Yuktihi is what? In mananam, you are not understanding the meaning of the Mahavakyam. You are only reconfirming the meaning of the Mahavakyam logically, resolving the doubts. Yuktya, through reasoning. It is called mananam. So, logical reconfirmation of what has been understood through Shravanam is mananam. Yuktya means logically, through reasoning. It means you also validate your understanding through reasoning. Is called mananam. Now what we have done now? Mananam only. Only one example is given. He only has taken the Nayayika school and he explained here how it is possible for people to have their own doubts. And the second thing, what the most important thing is, the very substance for Nayayika is the matter. All his researches, all his searching, only within the realm of the matter. Therefore, the matter itself being mithya, Anything based on the mithya matter also will be what now? Definitely will be very shaky. The will cannot be established logically. Whereas for Vedanta, for Vedantin, the very substance is, the ultimate substance is not the matter but consciousness. That's the biggest difference. What is his substance? Absolute substance, that is matter. And what is the absolute substance for the Vedantin? Consciousness. That is the biggest difference. Therefore, all his explanations are based on the substance being consciousness for a Vedantin. Whereas for a logician, all his inquiries, all his researches, all his queries, doubts, everything is based on his understanding of this matter being the absolute. What is his standpoint is matter. That is the biggest thing. That is why all such possible doubt and people raise also, through reasoning, don't mechanically or say anything. You through reasoning, logically, we negate others' views. Negation of others' views is not to belittle other person here, to reinforce, to stabilize, to reinforce one's own understanding, to validate one's own understanding. Therefore, yuktya sambhavitatva anusandhanam vat mananam tat. So, savanam and mananam are here discussed in this 53rd verse here. Now comes, before we go to the next verse also, 54th verse. Now I said the word anusandhanam is also used in what? Nididhyasanam. So mahavakyartha anusandhanam savanam. Then mahavakyartha jnana yuktya anusandhanam. What now? Mananam. Now what is nididhyasanam? Swaswarupa anusandhanam nididhyasanam. It is not mentioned here, but I want to give that word. Swaswarupa anusandhanam nididhyasanam. Swaswarupa anusandhanam nididhyasanam. See, swaswarupa means when you understand the, as a result of the shravanam, what do you arrive at? Result of listening to the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam, you arrive at the reality being one and the same of the individual and the whole. Then you reconfirm your understanding through reasoning by seeing the fallacies and limitations in others' arguments also, which is mananam. Then so swarupa anusandhanam means then that reality, when you arrive at the reality, oneness of the reality, you see the reality being not an object. Reality being not a subject also. Reality is neither the object nor the subject. And reality is one's own swarupam. One's own swarupam. Kadaswaswarupam. When you arrive at reality being one's own swarupam, which is neither the subject nor the object, then repeatedly dwelling upon the nature of the reality. See, in Shravanam, you do not dwell upon the nature of the reality. You only arrive at what the reality is. In Mananam, also you reconfirm your understanding of what the reality is. In Nididhyasanam, you have no doubt about what the reality is. but you're only assimilating the reality in terms of its nature. So, swaswarupa anusandhanam means you understand the reality being neither the subject nor the object. And you see the reality as your own swarupam. Thereby, you dwell upon the swarupam of the reality, nature of the reality. How reality, what reality is, you understand first consciousness. Then what is the nature of consciousness? Reality is consciousness. Being conscious is the nature of the reality. Therefore, you found a word, consciousness. And what is its swarupam? In what form does consciousness obtain? You see how it is. You can't say it is how it is. You understand how time is relative, space is relative. Therefore, time and space obtain only in the cognitions. Cognition obtains only in consciousness. Therefore, reality is free from time limitation, spatial limitation. So you understand each one. Okay, timelessness is the nature of consciousness, reality. And therefore, consciousness is always free from spatial limitation also. How? Because space also is object of cognition. Anything which is an object of cognition is what? Time bound. It is spatially limited. Whereas consciousness being the very truth of the cognition, very source of the cognition, you know, very origin of the cognition, consciousness is not being object. It is not bound by any of the limitations. Therefore, you understand really how consciousness is free from time limitation, how it is free from spatial limitation. And there's no object which exists outside of the cognition. Every object here is what? Object of cognition. The existence of any object is what? The knowledge, cognition only. Therefore, the cognition doesn't exist outside of consciousness. Therefore, there's no object which is free from, which is independent of consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is free from every object limitation also. So understand the limit. This is how consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. You arrive at it. This is after you understand, arrive at what consciousness is through Shravanam. Then you reconfirm it through Mananam. Then you repeatedly dwell upon the nature of the consciousness. How it is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. And not only that, how it is one. There is no second parallel. There is no other consciousness. Nothing other than consciousness also. How it is secondless. How it is non-dual. And how it is divisionless. How it is all-pervasive. How it is independent. Consciousness is how it is independent. And how consciousness is satyam. How it is the existence. How it is the independent, then how it is untainted, untouched, how it is unafflicted, untaintedness, divisionlessness, independence, self-existence, timelessness, spatial limitlessness, object-wise limitlessness, isn't it? So like this, each and every swarupam, how it is. We don't mechanically memorize this. We don't say simply eternal, eternal. Atma is eternal. We don't say that. We really see how consciousness is eternal. And you really see there is no substance other than consciousness. You understand in the light of the knowledge, you understand what this body is, what any other physical being here is. What this mind is, what any other mind is. What these thoughts are, what any other thought in any mother mind is. You understand everything clearly in the light of what consciousness is. Therefore, you see how there's no world other than consciousness. There cannot be something called Jagat other than consciousness. So you ascertain, this is called what? Nididhyasanam is not for understanding what the reality is not for even arriving, becoming clear about what consciousness is, Nididhyasanam is for you to assimilate, ascertain, know how consciousness is. Not what consciousness is, how consciousness is. So Shravanam, Mananam are for you to understand what the reality is. Then how reality is not anything else, you reconfirm through Mananam. This is what the reality is, becomes very clear in Mananam. In Nididhyasanam, you understand how the reality is. You have to see the person first. Somebody you meet, no, happen to meet. How does that person look? You have to see, must have seen the person for you to say how that person is. Without having seen even once, how can I talk about the person? Similarly here, that's why the Mahavakya Vichara is only for understanding what the reality is. This is the outcome of Shravanam. Shravanam can do only that much. Then Mananam, reconfirm, yes, this is the reality. There's no other reality. That becomes clear in the, through Mananam. Doubt-free. Then how that reality is becomes assimilated, ascertained through Nididhyasanam. And then where do you see that you, when you dwell upon how the reality is, you see the reality, the consciousness being your own Swarupam as the very content of the I. A very Swarupam of the knower. You would have become all day very clear. There is no knower. There is no I other than consciousness. Isn't it? You see the very content. That's called Swarupam. The very truth of I, content of I, Swarupam of I is what? Swarupam. And how, what consciousness is. How the consciousness is what? So Swarupa Anusandhanam. When you understand how consciousness is, so for Shravanam Mananam, you have the help of the teacher and the Shastram. Shravanam you do with the help of the Shastram. You don't try to understand by yourself. Mananam also you have the help of the Shastram. For Nididhyasanam, you understood the teaching of the Shastram. Nididhyasanam is something to be done independently. Then you don't need a teacher and the Shastram. Of course, why? Because what? Even though you are contemplating upon your own Swarupam, you do not do it independently. But you already understood with the help of the Shastram. So, whatever you understood through the Shastram, the study of the Shastram alone, you are going to dwell upon your own. And your own. Therefore, it is Nididhyasanam. But that's why the important thing is, in all the three things, we have this word Anusandhanam. So, Swarupa Anusandhanam is Nididhyasanam. Therefore, even this author doesn't mention this here. He mentions only this Shravanam and Mananam. Nididhyasanam also has this word Anusandhanam. That is why in tradition, whenever we do the Namaskaram to Guru also, we'll say this. Om Swaswarupa, Swaswarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. Swaswarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. Salutations. Here Bhagavan is the Guru. Nice sentence that is. Swaswarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. Salutations unto the teacher. Who brings to light the reality as one's own swarupam. Nirupayati. Nirupayati means proves. The salutations unto the teacher who brings to light the reality as one's own swarupam.
Can you repeat that, Swamini, please?
Swarupa Nirupana. Swarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. Swarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. Salutations unto the teacher who is instrumental in bringing the reality into light as one's own swarupam. That's why Tamil word nirupayati is a Sanskrit verb. Nirupayati. Nirubitar. Tamil. Tamil, lots of Sanskrit words. Even though they don't like it. Nirupanam means proving, establishing, bringing to light. Making it evident. The Swarupa Anusandhanam. So, in the 53rd verse, he talks about Shravanam and Mananam. In the 54th verse, he talks about the Nididhyasanam, but without mentioning the word Anusandhanam. Tabhyam. Tabhyam nirvichikitserthe, nirvichikitserthe, chetas chetas sthapitas yayat, chetas sthapitas yayat, yekatanatvametaddhi. Ekatanatvametaddhi nididhyasanamuchyate. Nididhyasanamuchyate. This 53rd and 54th, again, I will redo next week. I want today, I also brought other things. Now, Nirvikichit, see the second word now, Tabhyam. Tabhyam means through the Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Tabhyam means through Mananam and Nididhyasanam, say Mananam and Shravanam. By Shravanam and Mananam or through Mananam and Shravanam. Chetasaha sthapita. Chetasaha means of the mind. Mind has. Chetasaha means mind has. What now? The firm meaning. Sthapitaha. Sthapitasya means sthapitaha arthaha. The mind has confirmed, clear, doubt free. Sthapitaha, literal, here it means doubt free. Sthapita means doubt-free, clear knowledge. Chetasaha means mind has, of the mind. I want to put differently, mind has. Sthapitaha arthaha, clear doubt-free meaning. Of what? Meaning of the Mahavakyams. How did he get it? through Shravanam and Mananam. Shravanam gave him the first-hand knowledge. Mananam helped him to have resolve his doubts in that meaning. So through Shravanam and Mananam, the mind has got clear doubt-free knowledge of the meaning. So he says, Vichikitsa. See, Vichikitsa in Sanskritam means doubt. Vichikitsa is a noun. Vichikitsa means doubt. Nirvichikitsa means what? Doubt-free. Vichikitsa means doubt. Nirvichikitsa means what? Doubtlessness. Doubt-free. Now, nirvichikitse arthe means what? In the meaning which is doubt-free. The doubt-free meaning of the Mahavakyam, which he has through Shravanam and Mananam, now mind is placed. So, sthapitasya chetasaha. The mind has been placed in the meaning of the Mahavakyam. Mind is placed in the meaning of the Mahavakyam, which is gained through Shravanam and Mananam, but which meaning? Doubt-free meaning. Nirvichikitse arthe sthapitasya manasaha. Now, ekatanatvam means what? Ekatanatvam, the oneness of the self. When the attention of the mind is placed in the doubt-free meaning of the Mahavakyam, attained through Shravanam and Mananam, which happens to be the oneness of the self, and which is called Nididhyasanam. It's called Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam Uchyate. Nididhyasana means what? Constant dwelling. Nididhyasana means constant dwelling, constant, continuous, unbroken dwelling is called Nididhyasana. So now what is Nididhyasana? Constantly, continuously dwelling upon the oneness of the self, understood as the doubt-free, the meaning of the Mahavakyam. Doubt-free meaning of the Mahavakyam attained through Shravanam and Mananam. This is the definition of the Nididhyasanam given here. So here definitely the teacher emphasizes, that is why meditation without the Shravanam and Mananam will be meaningless. In fact, we do not call it a meditation. We cannot call it a contemplation. If the object of meditation is not the reality, anything else other than reality, you cannot call it anymore a contemplation. So meditation upon anything other than the reality will be what? Definitely an object. So meditating upon an object which is other than oneself cannot be contemplation and cannot be the reality also. Therefore, meditating upon anything other than the reality is what? Mithya. Meditating upon anything which is not the satyam, which is mithya, will be of no use. Because the very purpose of meditation here is to ascertain, for ascertainment, we will be very clear about the purpose of meditation. For us, purpose of meditation is what? Here the contemplation, which is the meditation, which is a mental activity. And the purpose of contemplation is for the assimilation, ascertainment of the reality, and which is actually moksha for us. And ascertainment of the reality is possible only if meditate upon the reality. You're meditating upon anything else other than the self means, the reality means, that definitely the object of meditation cannot be the self. It must be an object. Anything in an object is what? Not the reality. Mithya. That is why in Vedanta, we always emphasize Shravanam. And Shravanam, one has to go through. See, Shravanam is not, in even just to take this Mahavakyam alone, one can unfold and give the meaning. But a lot of mental preparation is needed. Mind has to become subtle also. That is why Shravanam is advised for length of time. Or one text is enough. Don't need to study a whole lot of all text after text after text after text. One doesn't need to study. But still, very important to study text after text after text. Shravanam itself has to be done for a length of time. For a length of time. Why? Because along with the understanding of the teaching, there's so many other things which you have to want along with the teaching also. What now? There is so many things are simultaneously become understood. So many things become understood. Then in the meantime, mind also develops certain subtleness, which is very much important. Anyway, therefore, here, nididhyasanam uchyate. Read it verse now. Nididhyasanam uchyate means it is said to be nididhyasanam. It is said to be contemplation. It is known as constant continuous dwelling. It is known as the contemplation. What is constant continuous dwelling upon dwelling? It says, ekatanatvam. Ekatanatvam means the oneness of the self. So constantly, continuously dwelling upon the oneness of the reality, which has been understood. How? Vichikitse arthe. What is it constantly dwelling upon the oneness of the reality is nidhyasanam. What does it mean by saying constantly dwelling upon the oneness of the reality, a oneness of the self? He says, placing the attention of the mind, chetasaha sthapanam, isn't it? So placing the attention of the mind in the meaning arthe, in the which meaning? Nirvichikitse arthe chetasaha sthapanam is what? Nididhyasanam. Okay, we take the words, the very verse, and you can defend. Nirvichikitse arthe. Tabhyam means shravana mananabhyam. Nirvichikitse arthe chetasaha sthapanam. Ekatanatvam nididhyasanam. Is it clear now? Placing the attention of the mind in the doubt-free meaning of the Mahavakyam attained through Shravanam and Mananam is what now? Dwelling upon the oneness of the self, which is called nididhyasanam, contemplation. Now you can write in the sentences here, Vedanta Vakya, Mahavakyaihi, write the Sanskrit definition, Mahavakyaihi ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥ ಅನುಸಂಧಾನಂ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯೈಹಿ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥ ಅನುಸಂಧಾನಂ ಶ್ರವಣಂ. ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಂಟೆನ್ಸ್, ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥಸ್ಯ ಯುಕ್ತ್ಯ ಸಂಭಾವಿತಸ್ಯ ಅನುಸಂಧಾನಂ ಮನನಂ. ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥಸ್ಯ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಅರ್ಥಸ್ಯ ಯುಕ್ತ್ಯಾ ಸಂಭಾವಿತಸ್ಯ ಅನುಸಂಧಾನಂ ಮನನಂ. So I already said what is Nidhyasanam, isn't it? I told you already. Okay. So these three, we will see again. I will repeat it next class. I have to leave for the puja now. So I'm finishing it 10 minutes earlier. I have to leave from here. I had to go to another place. So wish you all a very, very happy Navaratri and happy Yugadi, happy Gudi Padua, what it is. I don't know what how to say that. Anyway. For all the people, next week, I think, before Tamil New Year's Day, I will meet you, I think. So, this Navasata Navaratri time, I thought, let me, just for the sake of feeling, to feel cleansed, really, I want to do some Paranams. And also, we are having this, and then I told everybody in our class, today onwards, do every day, Om Namo Bhagavate, Shri Sita Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna, ಹನುಮತ್ ಸಮೇತ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಪರಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೆ. ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್? ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಸೀತಾ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ಭರತ ಶತ್ರುಘ್ನ ಹನುಮತ್ ಸಮೇತ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಪರಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೆ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡೂ 108 ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ ಟ್ವೈಸ್. ಓಕೆ. At next time, I'll do a long class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.